Well, grace and peace to you all from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. My name is Jason Bryan. I'm the pastor here at Cooks Memorial Presbyterian Church, and I just want to greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, saying grace and peace to you all. Friends, as we know, we are not many of us gathered here today due to the session's decision to suspend in-person worship for the next 2 weeks. We do that based on the rising COVID cases in Mecklenburg County, as well as listening to the Mecklenburg County Health Director. We hope to be back by January 31st. Assuming that we do, we invite all of the congregants of Cooks Memorial Presbyterian Church to be here with us on the 31st, because we'll have a congregational meeting designed to elect the nominating ministry for 2021, as well as elders for the class of 2023, and to approve my terms of call. So please, if we have in-person worship, be here on January 31st for that. If you would like to provide sanctuary flowers in honor or a memory of a loved one, they have some dates available. We just ask you to call Cheryl in the church office and let her know which of the available dates that you'd like. We do have some good news as it relates to the congregation. We got word toward the end of the week that Jill Griffin, who has been hospitalized or in an assisted living facility for quite some time, will be returning home in the January 20th. So we rejoice with that family. We rejoice with her, and just know that the Lord is working in all of our lives. The beautiful flowers in our sanctuary this morning are to say happy 16th birthday to Kinley and happy birthday to Jeannie. Love, Papa Jack. Those are the announcements that I have this morning. If there are any others, I would ask you to let us know in the church office and we can convey them to the church. Now let us open our hearts and minds for the worship of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I begin us with our call to worship, which comes to us from the book of Nehemiah, the 5th chapter, verses 5 and 6. Stand up and praise the Lord your God, who is from everlasting to everlasting. Blessed be your glorious name. May it be exalted above all blessings and praise. You alone are the Lord. You made the heavens, even the highest heavens and all their starry host, the earth and all that is in it, the seas and all that is in them. You give life to everything, and the multitudes of heaven worship you. Join me now in prayer. Loving God, you know us better than we know ourselves. Our prayers are in your heart even before they're on our lips. And yet we must still utter these prayers. We must proclaim our praise of you and of your wondrous creation. Your love surrounds us, and you have promised to be with us always. You know our heart's desire to serve you, and so we pray that you will keep us true to that desire. And so with these words, we utter our prayers to you in the name of Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Word teaches us that if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But it does give us cause for hope, for if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will cleanse us of our sins and remove all of our iniquities. Friends, join me now in our prayer of confession, which I pray for us, but I will leave room at the end so that in silence we might confess our own individual sin to the Lord with the expectation of hearing his word of grace. Join me now in prayer. Almighty and merciful God, we have erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against your holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Spare those who confess their faults. Restore those who are penitent, according to your promises declared to the world in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O merciful God, for his sake, that we may live a holy, just, and humble life in the glory of your holy name. Amen. The God who has made us will never desert us. The God of creation is creating still, making us new. The God whose love gave us the gift of Jesus Christ is the same God whose love forgives and sustains us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. At this point, I'd like to say a few words to the kids. You guys can just stay there because the camera is only going to pick up this far. I just want to tell you guys that I had a ritual when I was a kid. It wasn't so much of a ritual as it was something that happened season after season after season. Maybe you guys do it as well. You see, when I was a kid, my mom would make me pull out all of the things from the coming season right before of it. So if it was coming into fall, she'd pull out all my fall clothes from last year. Yes, see? Your mom's nodding. And she'd make me try them on. Now, do you guys do something like that? Maybe, yeah. Well, what happens most of the time? See, because y'all are growing up, right? They tend to be what? A little snug, maybe a little too small. Too bad for me, that just happens. No, it's not because I'm growing up anymore. But the fact of the matter is that things get bigger as you grow up. Now, guys, I want you to think about something a guy said over 1,000 years ago. 1,000 years ago, this guy named Anselm said, God is that of which nothing greater can be thought of. And what he was saying is, what's the biggest thing? Now, let's think. What's the biggest thing you guys can imagine? Ethan? Silas? Biggest thing you can imagine? What? A dinosaur. God is bigger than a dinosaur. You might say, well, what about the planet? God is bigger than the planet. God is bigger than the solar system. God is so big and so beyond our ability to think that even if we think of something great and awesome, he's bigger still. But you know what? Even though God is bigger than we can even imagine, the Word also tells us he's near to us as well. In St. Paul's letter to the church at Corinth, he says that you, meaning you and me, our bodies, are the temple of the Holy Spirit, which means that this big, huge, giant, unfathomable God is not only giant, but he's in our hearts as well, reminding us of his love and his dedication to us. And we know that, kids, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who came and ate and lived and breathed and walked and talked with us. So God is giant, but God is also very, very near. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of remembering. Remember pulling on clothes that are too small. To remember that we are in fact growing and our conceptions and thoughts on you will grow as well. Heavenly Father, but no matter how old or how wise that we get, you are still bigger than all of that. O Lord. And yet, as big as you are, we know that you love us because you dwell in our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. You are indeed great, and you are indeed kind and loving. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, we come now into a time of reading of Scripture, and as always, we begin with a prayer for illumination. Join me. Heavenly Father, we just pray as these words are read that they will be for us your word, your everlasting word that nothing changes, O Lord. Awaken within our hearts a passageway so that we might receive your word and have it come into us, changing us, reminding us of your love, and directing us to do your will in the world. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Our Old Testament reading comes to us from the book of Isaiah. I read the 55th chapter, verses 6 through 15. Hear now the word of our Lord. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that comes out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve for the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst with song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper, and instead of briars the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I read to you a pretty significant prayer from Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. The churches, really. He was writing to more than one. It was a collection at the time. I read the very prayer that stands as kind of the joint between the two sections of Ephesians. The first section is very theological. It talks about what God has done in and through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. And then following this prayer, what we're going to find is some very clear ethical instructions for how a church should function that are all based on the material he wrote in the first three chapters. And so this prayer concludes it. The first three, as he concludes his theological passage, I read it to you now, Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 21. Hear now the word of our Lord. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, one year when I was a kid, my mom told me I could order anything I wanted to, under $20 from the Swiss Colony catalog. Now, I don't know if they're still in business, but if you remember them, they were purveyors of all sorts of things, fruits and cheeses, all sorts of things, as I've said. You didn't really think about them much until maybe September or November, and then it seemed like your mailbox was flooded every day with one of their catalogs. Now, this being the 1980s, that under $20 that my mom gave me was indeed a princely sum. I flipped through that catalog more times than I care to remember, debating. Would it be the baby Swiss wheel? Would it be the collection of cheese spreads? Ultimately, I landed on what was known as a chocolate Chris mouse. It was a chocolate mouse that was decorated with red and green and white fondant icing. I couldn't wait for it to arrive. And each day that passed from the day that my mom called in the order to its arrival, it got bigger and bigger and bigger in my mind. Then, thankfully, the day arrived and the package came. My mom handed it to me. I thought it wasn't a huge box, but then again, looks could be deceiving. And so as I unwrapped the box, I expected this thing to be giant, maybe even the size of a large dog. What I got was a 7-inch by 5-inch piece of chocolate. Now look, it was good chocolate. It didn't stop me from eating it. But it was never quite as good as I thought it was going to be so very large. And that's just it, isn't it? Early in our years, we imagine things to be grand, splendid, larger than life. Then comes the sad day, the day when we really see things with eyes unclouded by our imaginations. We're disappointed. Falling from the clouds of our larger-than-life expectations, we plummet to earth, and it hurts when we land. Feeling the pain of our shattered expectations, we grow suspicious and leery, so we guard our hopes and our expectations. Our minds won't allow our dreams to soar very high, for we know when they fail, at least our fall down to the earth won't be quite so painful. And it's easy, I'm afraid, to take these smaller-than-life expectations into our faith lives. In 1952, a British scripture scholar and translator, J.B. Phillips, wrote a book with the provocative title, Your God is Too Small. In that work, he writes, "The trouble with many people today is they've not found a God big enough for their needs and the modern times." He was right then, just as he would be right today. The challenge for many people today is finding a God who's big enough to embrace the world and yet close enough to fill our inner emptiness. And so I wonder, how many of us have a conception of God that's just two sizes too small? Many of us, if truth be told. Without even recognizing it, we've substituted a puny and punitive God for the almighty creator of heaven and earth. This God of our limited understanding doesn't do much out of the ordinary. This is a God stingy with mercy, extending it only to a certain kind of people, the good ones, the pretty ones, the successful ones. We too often in that puny and punitive God imagine the God that's easy to anger and slow to forgive. In a way, this God is just like us, except maybe just a scale bit bigger, just slightly more powerful. This God of our own making is predictable, safe, and boring. Some of us may even imagine a God who lets the world run as it chooses, rarely, if any, intervening in the realm of creation. That, to some extent, is our innate American deism at work. We sometimes believe that God stands back and every once in a while wanders in when things get interesting. If Reverend Phillips were writing today, though, perhaps he might title his book, Your God is Too Small and Too Distant. Do y'all remember that Bette Midler song, From a Distance? I bet many of y'all recall the chorus, and don't worry for those of you who are here or watching online, I'm not going to sing. That would be horrible. The chorus went, God is watching us, God is watching us, God is watching us from a distance. The lyrics express what so many of us wrongly believe, that God is far away, hoping that we'll be good to one another, but we can't really expect him to intervene. This God's hopes will learn how to fend for ourselves, for we simply can't imagine that it'll actually nourish us with the bread of life. Reverend Sales writes, this God isn't amazing. He's more like a report from the agricultural department about anticipated wheat harvests. I remember years ago in Mount Holly, the kids did a Christmas play. They were wonderful. They did a great job. And yet at the same time, I had made the mistake of not actually reading the script ahead of time. When I got there and saw the kids' performance, I realized that the takeaway was that God and heaven operated much like a large bureaucracy, and that they made mistakes and lost people along the way. It was terrible, terrible theology, but almost nobody questioned it. It makes sense to me because after all, when you've got a God that's too big for us to imagine, what happens is that we tend to define God by the things that we know. That God will never satisfy us. In fact, this God that many of us imagine so puny and punitive and small is hardly worth getting out of bed for early on a Sunday morning. If we do deign drag ourselves to church to worship this God, things better be entertaining. No silence, for heaven's sakes, and no liturgy. A loud band is exactly what it will take to keep our yawns muffled and our eyes from slamming shut halfway into the service. Since we don't really expect this God to do anything amazing or honestly expect him to break into our hearts and create new life, what we want is little more than life pointers from our diminutive God. We want the pastor to tell us how to be better people or more productive or to earn more money or simply to avoid bickering with our in-laws. If God can't astound us with the immensity of his power or his love, then at least he can function like some kind of enlightened guidance counselor. And this small, puny God of our limited imaginations would be fine if life didn't hurl curveballs at us from time to time. The problems arise when we realize that a small and distant God leaves us feeling overwhelmed by change and threatened by emptiness. Without the solid assurance of a great and mighty God, too often it feels like we're existentially adrift on the seas without hope of assistance. When our footing falters, we know of no sure foundation. When change comes into our lives, we see no mighty fortress rising ahead of us. Make no mistake about it. We are living in a generation of massive shifts, changes happening all around us. And these just aren't the harmless fluctuations of perhaps the fashion world. They're tectonic shifts in our culture. Technology has brought us to the point where actually getting away from the office makes no real difference. If anything, quarantine life has made our homes de facto our office. We remain tethered to our work 24/7, and there's just no room for Sabbath when a spreadsheet calls. Ethics and morality, which for thousands of years had been anchored to God's word, his goodness, and his mercy, have been carelessly uprooted in the name of quote-unquote progress. We create our own understanding of good and evil based on our own personal predilections without regard to anything save the most recent surveys. Everything is temporary. Everyone is impermanent. Our vulnerability to change sometimes overwhelms us, and when it does, that small, punitive God simply can't help us. A distant God can't do anything to fill the emptiness which threatens us. Friends, we all live through times which ask more for us than we can possibly deliver. Work grinds on, our energy is sapped dry. Needs pile up, but it seems few resources remain. Even with COVID, our calendars seem to remain packed, and yet our hearts are shockingly empty. Sadness interjects itself, and we utterly lack the hope to temper with. If you peel away all the anxiety and angst in our lives, real, imagined, or otherwise, and got down to the real nitty-gritty, what plagues our souls is this. By imagining God to be so small, so indifferent, so distant, we're unfulfilled, deeply, deeply unsatisfied. all the other junk we accumulate, the lies, the resentments, the fears, the wounds, and the worries, all flow from this void within us. So we go about ordering the junk of this world, hoping to fill that empty place with each passing delivery from Amazon. Yet those trinkets, when those trinkets arrive at our doorsteps, they do little more than disappoint us, just like that chocolate Chris Mouse did for me so many years ago. That, dear friends, is why we so desperately need to hear this prayer from St. Paul in his letter to the Ephesians. In our New Testament reading this morning, we hear the awe-inspiring prayer which Paul uses to conclude the first section of his letter. Throughout this first section of his letter, as I said earlier, Paul's talked about a number of things. He's talked about sin and grace, about law and gospel. He's talked about a creator God who's put everything in this universe and in heaven under the dominion of Jesus Christ, his Son, God with us. This isn't the puny, distant God we've created in our minds. This is the Almighty God who Scripture declares is with us always. Ours is no timid God. This God lacks no power or might. This is a God who ordered his good creation and is now restoring it through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Ours is a God who took on flesh to be with us, to know us more intimately, and to redeem us from the power of sin and death. This God is truly omnipotent. This God is the one who stuns us with manifold beauty, unequaled authority, and a vast, albeit sometimes frightening, love. When he reveals himself to us, we recognize he holds us in his loving hands every single second. Apart from his ongoing provision, we simply would not exist. And so Paul offers up this prayer to his brothers and sisters in Christ in Ephesus. He prays three things for them. First, he prays that the Holy Spirit would indwell in them all, giving them great strength. Then Paul hopes that in the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that they would come to know the breadth and length and height and depth of God. Finally, Paul prays that his fellow churchmen and women would know the love of Christ towards them so that they would be filled with the fullness of God. What Paul prays for the church at Ephesus, I pray for you and for myself. I pray that in the power of the Holy Spirit, God would come into our hearts and minds and give us strength. The strength to feel our puffed up egos explode into a thousand tiny pieces by the revelation of Jesus Christ in his word. He is, as we know, the firstborn of all creation who now stands as sovereign Lord over all eternity. I pray that God gives us the strength to know that we're not alone here on earth. And more importantly, to know that we're not the center of the universe. One far more capable serves that role already. Strengthened by the Holy Spirit, I pray we all get a life-changing glimmer of the enormity of God. As I told the children, St. Anselm once wrote that God is that which nothing greater can be conceived. What that means is no matter how far our mind stretches to see and understand God, God will be even larger still. His vastness and his power pulls the breath from our lungs, filling us with awe and with wonder. Like looking out on the ocean and being taken by the immensity of it all, we, like the seraphim, call out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The earth is full of his glory." We worship a God who is and always will be love. Love that crafted every atom, every electron, every quark, every God particle. This is the God who wove together every planet, every star, every sun, every galaxy. And we shouldn't miss, this is the God who in the fullness of time took on flesh in Jesus Christ. In his immeasurable love, God walked, talked, ate, slept, grieved, and even died for us and for our salvation. In his love, he's been raised into heaven, and he waits there for us now in the body as his Spirit joins us here, closer than the next breath we'll take. This is the kind of love which fills us with the fullness of the real God. This is the kind of God which shows our fears, our worries, or even our present sadness to be but fleeting moments in time, evaporating against the eternality of God, who's prepared a place for us in his eternal and everlasting kingdom. This is the kind of love that draws tears to your eyes and studs your flesh with goose pimples. Friends, hear the good news revealed in Scripture. We worship no small, distant deity. We worship God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, immeasurable, powerful, caring, kind, merciful, loving. Rejoice, people of God. If this God is for us, then nothing can stand against us. Not COVID-19, not domestic turmoil, not even death itself. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Kay. We're joined by Kay Matthews this morning because Charles has got a little hand injury. I hope you'll be better soon. We'll be praying for you. It is now time, having heard the word read and proclaimed, that we lift up our thoughts and prayers to the Lord Almighty, giving unto him the burdens of our hearts. We pray for our friends, for our families, for our loved ones, for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We pray for the church and for the world in which it's situated. We pray always reminded that God not only hears these prayers, but he does indeed answer them. Join me now in a word of prayer. Almighty God, who stands beyond even our wildest imaginations, we come to you now ascribing to you all honor and praise and glory, for your power and might astounds us, and yet your nearness and love melts our hearts of stone and turns them towards you, O Lord. You indeed are great and greatly to be praised, for you, before the foundations of the earth were even drawn, chose our names, and then you called into existence everything we're ever going to encounter. It was through your love that this world came into being. It was through your love that we came into being. And most especially, Heavenly Father, it's through your love that we are redeemed in and through the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. In him we find that great fortress. In him we find that sure and solid rock. In him we know that even though we stray, that he'll find us, throwing us over his shoulder like a lost lamb and returning us to the flock. Gracious God, we love you, and we know that your love for us extends beyond the depths of our own ability to conceive it. And Heavenly Father, in that love that you've generated within us, we lift up to you now all our prayers and all our concerns. Heavenly Father, we live in a difficult and dangerous time, O Lord, just like many of our brothers and sisters before us. Yet we, like our brothers and sisters before us, turn to you, and your word reminds us that you are with us, O Lord, until the end of this age. And so, Heavenly Father, we pray for this world. We ask that where there is discord or enmity, that you would bring your light and your peace. Heavenly Father, we pray that where there are fears or anxieties, you would descend with your Holy Spirit, bringing serenity and tranquility. Oh Lord, we ask that for all those who are suffering with COVID, that you would promote healing, oh Lord. We pray even more that the vaccine would be successful. We pray that doctors would soon find even a cure for those who are beleaguered by it. Oh Lord, we think of all of the doctors, nurses, and other caregivers who provide such wonderful healing touches to our folks. And we just pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would provide them all necessary energy and insight to do their work. So too, Heavenly Father, do we pray for all the first responders who put themselves in harm's way in order to keep us safe, just as we pray for all the men and women of our armed forces. We ask that no matter where they may be stationed, that you would surround them in your protective watch care. Heavenly Father, we pray for the members of this church, O Lord. We pray for Jack McClure. We pray for Lucille Saville. We pray for Marcia Sifford. We pray for all of those in our midst who are sick or grieving or lonely or anxious, asking that you would be for them the balm of Gilead, that your healing and restorative touch would arrive on them just like always, O Lord. Heavenly Father, we pray for those families who are still mourning lost loved ones, just asking that you would alert to them in their innermost hearts that their loved ones are safe with you, kept ready for the coming kingdom. Heavenly Father, we make these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of that coming kingdom. And we make them all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whom we live and breathe and have our being. It was Jesus who taught us to pray in this fashion. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, certainly not being here, it would be difficult to give an offering, but there are means by which you can do so. We have an electronic portal through our website, and of course, you can always mail a check to the church. We know that these times are difficult, and yet we also know that stewardship in the Lord Jesus Christ is part of who we are as Christians, remembering always that God indeed loves a cheerful giver. Friends, know that the giant, enormous, unimaginable God is as near to you as the next breath. He loves you. He adores you. He sent his Son, Jesus Christ, in the world to redeem us from our sins. And through his resurrection, we know that we are assured a place in the eternal coming kingdom of God. Friends, enjoy the love of that awesome God as you recognize that that love is sent to you to share with others. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forever. Amen. Thanks so much, folks. We look forward to seeing, well, We look forward to seeing you online next week as well, and we'll let you know about the 31st. God bless you and take care.